Canby New Life Foursquare Church welcomes you. We're located at 2350 Southeast Territorial Road, just off Highway 99E. We hope the following message will be a blessing to you.
I'm going to introduce to you our district supervisor, and he is oversees the North Pacific District for our denomination, which is Foursquare. And so he's kind of the apostle over the churches of Oregon, Southwest Washington, and Alaska, and just really cares for the churches and the pastors and the congregations. You know, our pastors need to be cared for, too. And so it's just wonderful how our denomination has set that up in a way that even the leaders can have leaders and people who care for them. But on a more personal level, this is a man that I get to work with. I've got to work with him over the past 3.5 years in the district office and gotten to know him on new levels. So I can honestly say that he is a man with a strong apostolic call and strong vision, but one of the gentlest and kindest shepherd's heart that I've ever had the pleasure of knowing. And so, and a dear friend of mine, would you please welcome our district supervisor, Larry Spousta.
Thanks, Brian. Oh, thanks so much. Love you. Well, good morning, New Life.
Morning.
What a joy to be with you as always. And also want to commend you for the tremendous steps you've made in investing in an emerging generation. I don't know how many of you sit out there and look at these young graduates coming forward and you're saying, man, I wish I would have done that when I was young. And I wish somebody would have invested in me in that way. Because what we're really talking about is discipleship. The scripture doesn't say go out and make converts. It says go out and make disciples. And an intentional process of discipleship that you have in your congregation here is so commendable. I want you to know if you are parents there with your kids growing up, really consider ideas as a part of their formational next step in life. It's amazing how many kids fall in the crack between graduating from high school and trying to figure out their life track. I don't want to use the word career track because God doesn't see careers. We're all called people. There's a whole theology in the Bible about it. You call it a theology of work. Everything you do is as unto the Lord and has kingdom implications and impact. Well, if you're here this morning and you're a visitor or just happen to find your way through town on vacation or whatever, I want to welcome you. You're here on a very unique and special morning. I have the opportunity to join the congregation and share with you some things that are taking place in the life of this congregation that we want to disclose to you. And also just want to honestly and openly share with you some things that are changing in a process of your pastor's life. Many of you know that Pastor Ron Swore and Annette, who pastor the church here, Ron is on a what we call a medical leave of absence. He had a knee replacement and shared with the congregation about a month ago of this taking place. And since then, there's some things that have transpired. And one of the things we want to talk with you just honestly and openly about is what's taking place in their lives. You know, if there's the scripture refers to the church, the household of God, is the foundation of the truth. In other words, if truth doesn't happen in here, where's it going to happen? If honest conversations of how we support one another and love one another and walk through life together, church isn't about attending on certain occasions of the week. It's about a people who have chosen to do life together under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And it's kind of through the difficult times and the good times, through the celebrations and all that's involved in that. And I've prepared an opening, just a little statement that lays the foundation of what I want to share with you today, because I want a continuous communication between the three services of this weekend to know what's taking place. I find often in church life, what people aren't up on, they're down on. If they're not in the information loop, if we're not hearing the same thing, if we're not communicating well, there's this inability to walk together. So I've prepared a statement that I want to read to you, and then we'll just open it up. But if you were here this morning and you walked in, you say, oh my gosh, it's a family meeting. I shouldn't be here. I feel kind of awkward. Don't you feel awkward at all? This is how God's church does life together. I want you to know that. This is how we walk in integrity together. Let me read this statement. Pastor Ron Swarren and Ned have granted me permission to share the following information with you. It is an update to address some necessary changes for New Life Congregation and the Swar family. On the weekend of April 27th and 28th, Pastor Ron shared with the New Life Congregation his plans to take a medical sabbatical. The purpose of the sabbatical was to recover from an upcoming knee replacement and to restore his personal spiritual vitality, which is diminished through the rigors of pastoral ministry. Pastor Ron's desire was to recharge his battery, as he stated, to recover the whisper, the still small voice of God in his life. The busyness of his schedule, family challenges, and his own private battle with pain has added to this feeling of loss of intimacy with God and others. A few weeks prior to his surgery and this announcement, it was also discovered that Pastor Ron's medical condition and personal pain had resulted in a dependency on pain medication. Since the point of that discovery, the reality of the depth and duration of his addiction has continued to unfold. In order to clarify the seriousness of this issue, it is important that we understand the nature and the pathology of addiction. Addiction is the continued use of a mood-altering substance or involvement in a detrimental behavior practice, despite their adverse consequences, often including a neurological impairment leading to such behaviors. In other words, the behavior actually begins to cloud how you think. Classic hallmarks of addiction include impaired control of and preoccupation with substances and behaviors, continued use despite consequences, and denial. Habits and patterns associated with addiction are typically characterized by immediate gratification coupled with delayed adverse effects. In other words, short-term rewards, but with a long-term cost. As Pastor Ron's brother, friend, and supervisor, along with the support of the leadership of his congregation, a decision has been made to aid the healing process in his life by prescribing for Pastor Ron a leave of absence in order to ensure this addictive cycle in his life is broken and that health and spiritual vitality returns. During Pastor Ron's leave of absence, the North Pacific District Leadership Team will be partnering with the pastors and the elders of this congregation to provide ongoing spiritual health and oversight. I'm assigning Tim Mossholder, a member of my staff, to assist me during this season while Pastor Ron is absent. He will function as my coordinating pastor to serve in any possible way the leadership of this congregation. The leadership of New Life, Foursquare Church, and I are confident of God's ability to heal and consequently restore Pastor Ron to renewed health and freedom. We believe spiritual restorative processes designed to make whole and reconcile are biblically mandated and ensure the health of a local church as well as the testimony of Jesus Christ in our community. What I'm sharing with you is ultimately over many, many years of chronic pain and ensuing need for medication, Pastor Ron has developed an addiction to that medication. And that addiction is something that has really become a very, very difficult thing for him to break out. And we are involving him in a time of counseling and walking him through a process that will involve him being restored and made whole for the future. But it's going to take some time. Right now, after the knee surgery, which has already taken place, Pastor Ron is under strong medication, as you can imagine. And that's going to go on for a little while. And then following that, then there will be the need for him to then take steps to withdraw from the medication and then come into control of that area in his life. For some of you, that might really be a kind of a punch in the gut. Our spiritual leader needing deliverance. But can I share with you, spiritual leaders are people. Amen. Can I even share with you, there are people who are being fixed of their brokenness, even in the processes they lead. See, the beauty of the beauty and the scary part of the body of Christ is we're all imperfect people, right? Now, some of you didn't say right, right? Yeah, okay, just checking. If the person next to you didn't say right, then you better check this out. They're in delusion, you know? The second thing is you're under imperfect leaders. Amen? Amen. I say it's getting scarier all the time, but we're under a perfect God who is in control and teaching us how to walk out that perfection, for we are his workmanship. Isn't that what the scripture says in Ephesians? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which he foreordained that we would walk in them. In other words, God has a plan for our life. And I want you to know, as much as God has a plan for our life, the enemy has a plan to derail your life and mine. That's why we need each other. You cannot do the life of Jesus on your own. You say, well, I can get to heaven without all going to church or without all these people. Yeah, but you're going to have a hard time getting heaven into you. It's really, really important, the relationship and how we walk together in times like this. And Pastor Ron and Annette are, it's coming to grips with this reality has been really difficult for them. I want you to know, addiction is not a personal problem. It's a family systems problem. It involves your whole family. You don't just have someone in addiction in your family. Having a problem, that addiction touches everyone. And you know from your own life and your own situation, we all have our areas of addiction. And addiction is such a scary word. It's a word that we throw around a lot in our culture. And we come to the place of defining it as some deep, dark sin and something that you do behind closed doors, and that does sometimes happen. There is a process of addiction that goes from the bondage of addiction to where shame sets in, and shame brings us into isolation, and isolation causes us to hide, and it circles in our life, and you get caught in this circle, and you have no idea how to get out. That's why interventions like this are necessary. You need to have people in your life who love you enough to say, stop. We're going to help you. And that's what we're doing with Pastor Ron. Now, many times in the body of Christ in churches, when things like this, because we need to look really good, you know, when a spiritual leader has a problem, he all of a sudden gets a call to another place and nobody hears. Or we put it behind closed doors till the person's life falls apart. And then we say, shame on them. What was wrong with them? Instead of really coming alongside and helping. And so with your aid, we're going to come alongside and help your pastors. With your partnership, this church is going to grow stronger. And it's going to have a testimony of a safe place where broken people, which we all are, can walk. And I was just writing down in my prayer time this morning just a couple of things about addiction, because addiction really is a dependence on anything we draw life from rather than Jesus Christ. Anything, any behavior, any person. that you bow down to, or I bow down to, other than Jesus Christ. It's almost like a form of idolatry. It causes you to bow down your life. You submit control. And we all deal with areas of dependency on things that aren't going to last. I was sharing last night with the congregation, one of the reasons and the urgencies of dealing with issues like this is the scripture in Hebrews says there's a coming a time when everything, God's going to speak, and everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. How many of you believe we live in that time today? I mean, you walk into Clackamas Town Center, and I would have thought that's the safest place in the world up to about a number of months ago around Christmas. Everything is getting shaken, and in a time when everything that can be shaken is being shaken, we come back to the place of realizing that that is not the devil always. That is God helping us to understand that anything that is built on Jesus can't fall down. And anything that isn't built on him won't stand up. So we need to do ourselves a favor and deal with it now. Amen. Before it more and more entrenches itself and gets a life, a grasp on your life where you have no control. That's what addiction is. It's a dependency. But Jesus is a healer. Amen. He's a restorer. He can take us from situations of paralysis where we've tried and we've attempted over and over. And you just say, Pastor Larry, as you share that, I know what God is putting his finger on my life right now in areas where I've struggled for years. Could go all the way from an eating disorder to trying finding, getting the endorphins flowing in your life by ultimate exercise and recreation and all the way to pornographic and addiction. And we could just go through alcohol, substance abuse. We live in an addicted society. And in the midst of that, Jesus comes to us and he says, I have a way to make you well again. And I want you to turn with me to the book of John, would you please? Because I want to share a short yet pointed word to us this morning. Are we doing okay? Everybody okay? Okay. In the Gospel of John, chapter 5, Jesus gives us a tremendous analogy or a tremendous picture, I should share, a tremendous narrative of a breakthrough to healing. And that's really what we want, amen? We want a breakthrough to healing. I want to live a life out where I get to experience all who Jesus has made me to be. The greatest fear I have in my life is not failure. I've done that, been there, got the t-shirt. How many of you can say that, you know? Failure is not fatal. Matter of fact, it's some of the greatest learning things in my life I've experienced by failure. So that's really not too intimidating anymore. It's survivable and you can get through that. Failure is not the problem. The thing that kind of can haunt me is the potential of not realizing the destiny or the purpose God put me on this planet for. I don't want to finish with regrets. I don't want to stand before the Lord and not have an account for my life and how I've lived it. I want to be the most whole and healthy and vibrant person I can be. I had someone come up before congregational time or during the greeting time. And I pastored for 20 years in Salem, and then I've supervised, or I should say served pastors for another 20 years. And they came in a very, very nice way. He said, you don't look the same as you used to. I was not shocked at that comment. There was one time where I had this head of hair. I mean, I was, I just shared with them, I don't have a problem with aging. I'm just not going to grow old. I'm just not going to grow old. I'm going to keep myself ever learning, ever growing into the image of Jesus Christ. I'm going to be a good steward of the life that God has given me so I don't stand before him ashamed. Here in John chapter 5, verse 1, I'm going to begin to read, and I'll read about a dozen verses, and then we're going to come and make application, and then let the Lord do transformation in our lives as we draw our time to a close. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep's Gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease they had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred, but while I'm coming, another steps in before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is unlawful for you to carry your bed." He answered to them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is this man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed, told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Interesting portion of scripture here. A man sitting at the pool of Bethesda, and the best way I could explain the pool of Bethesda in the culture of that time, it was kind of like a hospital. They didn't really have hospitals. It was a place where the sick people gathered in hopes of being made well. And the scripture shares the little story of an angel coming and stirring the waters, and the first person in the pool gets healed. And if you go into commentaries, they say they're not sure if that was a fable or there was a spring of water that bubble up and stir people's faith to believe. It doesn't really go into it. It's really not a major addition to or need to know in the story. The most important thing is you need to see a man who has been for 38 years of his life. What it's referred to as paralyzed or unable. I actually think the word is withered. And he's there laying on his bed. His normal daily task is, hopefully you have some loving and caring and compassionate friends who stop by wherever you live and pick you up on your pallet and carry you to the pool and set you down in hopes that the water might move and you might fall in at the right time. And this has been going on for years and years and years and years. He's seen a few bubbles come up. He's tried to roll off into the right time, and just by this time he goes there not necessarily believing anything that's really going to happen. He just goes there because he has no other place to go. That's his job. You go to the pool. And Jesus comes walking along and asks him one of what I call the stupid questions in the Bible. "Do you want to be made well?" What would you say? Excuse me? I'm just getting a suntan. You know, I mean, I love his response, because he didn't even answer that question. He just came with an excuse. He says, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred, But while I'm coming, another steps in the way. And I want to share with you, I see three excuses of why we don't get healed right there. Number one, someone must help me. I can't be healed unless somebody helps me. Somebody needs to understand what I'm going through. They need to help me into the waters so I can get healed. Somebody needs to help me. I call it the abandonment issue. I'm all alone, God. Nobody cares or nobody understands. There's a lot of people who care, but they don't understand. And even when they care, you sit down and share your problem, your challenge with them. And they'll sit there and say, oh, I understand. I understand. You say, no, you don't understand. I understand. No, you don't understand. They don't get it. You know, I think that's by the divine purpose of God to bring us to a place of desperation that people can't get it. They care, but they can't fix it. And it's very easy to take on the excuse of, well, somebody needs to help me. You can spend a lot of time sitting by the pool with that excuse. Number two, there needs to be a happening. The water needs to stir. If I could just get to church on one of those Sundays when the Spirit pours out, or if I could go to that meeting, I heard they're having an outpouring in this place and in that place, and revival's happening there. And if I can get there, man, I'm going to get healed. I've watched people chase God all over the country trying to get healed. And it seems like he's the all-present God, if I read my Bible right. If I could just find the right happening, if I could, if I could just get in that place. If I could just be there at the right time and get the right pastor to pray for me, get the right, only the pastor can really pray the prayers that heal you, The third excuse, I call that second one mysticism, because that's what it is. It's almost we believe in spiritual magic. And the third is, people keep getting in my way. None of us can relate to that one, right? Call it victimization. Everybody gets in my way. I could really be a man of God if I didn't have to work in this secular situation. I need to be on the church staff. They need to pay me to be godly. Then I could really serve him. It's the circumstance. It's my bad neighborhood, my neighbor who throws his beer cans in my backyard. It makes me mad. It's not my fault. Maybe this is getting a little too. If it's this man I'm married to, I should have chose the other guy. It's this man, or it's this woman. This anchor, God, you've given me. I'm never going to make it. I mean, we all laugh. I've heard those stories, and you have too. A matter of fact, I would guarantee you that the enemy has rehearsed them in your mind. It's excuses. I love Jesus' response. Very simple. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. That was a shocker. Not, well, let me talk. We need to counsel with you a little bit here. Let's talk this over. I think it was as you were a child, you had a resentment against your father. And, there's nothing wrong with counseling. But there is a time when we really don't need counsel. We need to obey. I found one of the greatest forms of counseling. People, Pastor, I don't know what to do. What should I do? And I say, well, what has God been speaking to you? And they'll go, but, but. Okay. What do you think he'd want you to do? But, but. Okay. What would it take for you to do that? But, but. Okay. How long would it, are there any obstructions that would get in the way? Well, but, but. Okay. How long? Well, but. Okay. Then I can check back with you in 2 weeks, right? That's the best counsel I've ever gotten in my life. Isn't it funny how we are? I love Jesus. Rise, take up your bed and walk. And I'm just going to make quick. There's a pathway to healing as much as there is excuses to hinder our healing. There's a pathway. Number one, rise. Do something you cannot do because he tells you to. Do something you can't do that God has to show up to do. If that doing is just get out of your seat and walk up to someone and have them lay hands and pray for you, a simple prayer, then do something you can't do because God tells you to. If it's lay down whatever that addictive substance, what if it's stop, turn off that TV, stop visiting those places on the internet, whatever, do something you can't. You say, I can't do it. Do something you can't do and watch the power of God show up. Number two, take up your bed. Make no provision for relapse. If you don't have a bed, there's no relapse. You say, okay, I won't go to that site again. Why wouldn't it, you know, it might be wise to just get a blocker. You say, well, I don't want to block it because then I can't go back. Uh-huh. You know, I'm just going to stop binge eating. Get rid of the Twinkies. No. That's my stash. Just in case the store isn't open late at night. Don't make provision for a relapse. Number three, walk. Don't expect someone else to carry you. Jesus and you, Jesus and me is enough. He is adequate. Very, very, very important to understand that. You say, well, it seems like they were supposed to help one another. There is a place in Galatians 6 where it says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's important. But just a few verses later, it says, but every man must bear his own load. There's a certain backpack of your life that you have to carry. Now, at times, it's overburdened. Somebody throws a block of cement in your backpack and you need a brother or sister to help you. But sometimes we get confused where that really goes, and we want to really shirk our responsibility. Say, you know, I need to get up and I need to spend time with Jesus. I need to be a person of the word. I need to be in fellowship. There's a certain things you and I need to do. Not because we have to, not because it gets brownie points with God, but because we need it. I read my Bible for me, not for God. He understands what it says. I need it. Today is a day where I enlist you as a congregation to bear your pastor's overburden. It's an overburden. That's why we're taking them alongside in a recovering situation. But I also am calling you to face your own area of dependence on anything other than Jesus Christ. Stop making excuses, because they will not set you free. They will only prolong your bondage and open to the work of the Holy Spirit, where Jesus says, rise, take up your bed and walk. You know, and incidentally, when that happened, when Jesus did that, the Pharisees immediately criticized. They saw the man walking with his bed. They didn't even, you know, they must have walked past that guy for years. Probably gave him shekels as a beggar, because that's how he made his living. But when he was healed, they didn't even notice it was the paralyzed guy. All they knew is he's breaking the law. And folks, I want you to know, because we are taking a compassionate and restorative approach here in this congregation, you're going to hear people, the potential is in this congregation, in your community, say, that's wrong. A spiritual leader should be blameless and have no areas of character flaws. He ought to be kicked out. And there'll be people who say that's the spirit of a Pharisee. That's what it is. God has standards, and we'll help your pastor And he'll make decisions to be personally restored and step in to those standards again. But God does not kick us in the ditch. He says, do you want to? There's a time when our will is not enough. He just says, how about your desire? Do you want to be made whole? Do you just want to? Will you just rise up? I'm going to pray and we're going to close. And I know there's some change in service and things like that. But I'm going to ask right now prayer teams to go to different places around this congregation. And this is not going to be a long deliverance prayer time. You just need some way of rising up and responding and saying, that's me, God is speaking to this morning. And I want to be healed. I just have a desire. I don't even know how God could. I've tried so many times. But these prayer teams are here. Jeremy, worship team, come on back. We're going to do one song. Then I'll come and I want to close in a benediction. But while Jeremy is leading in this song, I'm going to ask you to exercise the courage. Cast off the excuses. And step out and let somebody pray for you. It'll be a short prayer. They'll pray. If they need longer than that, they'll set up a time with you. But let's do kingdom business, okay? Lord Jesus, thank you so much. This is your church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. The enemy has tried. We see his devices. He's defeated even now, this morning, as we together acknowledge that you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you have disarmed principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them. And so, Lord, the testimony of New Life Church will be a place where people can be healed and restored, where broken people come and it's safe. I pray that we would start that testimony by becoming whole ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can contact the church office Tuesday through Thursday from 9 to 5 and Fridays from 9 to 3 at 503-266-4444. Please visit us on the web anytime at canbefoursquare.com. Pastor Ron and others on New Life staff, along with occasional guest speakers, trust that the Holy Spirit will use the message to teach you, encourage you, and give you hope.